What sucks is like I just want to take a trip to Target, but I can't take a trip to Target.
You can't do the therapeutic trip to Target right now, and it fucking
You would
sucks.
think coronavirus would save me money, but like I'm looking up matching sweatpant like outfits, sweatsuits.
Ooh.
Because
I mean, if we're gonna be like this for a while, you might as
I
well.
know. It's a
Maybe Corona brings back juicy velour
Oh, fuck
sweatsuits.
no. I hope not.
Maybe. First of all,
Okay.
step the fuck back.
No, that's a
Have
terrible.
you ever worn a juicy velour sweatsuit? They're fucking
No, and
great.
I don't want to.
Oh my God, I want. Ooh. Oh, we're Googling it. Juicy sweat. Not Seattle sweat suit. Juicy Couture at Macy's.
Juicy ka-ching.
I'm dead fucking
I know
serious. These
you
are,
are.
oh God, these are all children's sizes. No, I want them for me.
This episode of a podcast is just us looking up juice like sweatsuits. It's fine.
Yeah. Ooh, this is all black. Oh no, they only have it in gray and an extra small left.
Oh
No.
no.
So my hope for the coronavirus and how it affects society is that people accept universal standard income. People understand that we shouldn't connect healthcare with employment. People understand that labor is the only true thing that we own. And the juicy velour sweatsuits come back into style. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
You know, I'm just gonna disagree with you on that. And that's
Which part? A, B, C, D, or all?
all. I don't even. All I
Okay.
remember is the Juicy Velour sweatsuit, so.
I mean, I think you agree that healthcare should not be connected to your terms of employment,
Yeah.
I'm
No, yes,
sure.
I agree with A, B, and C. I disagree with D. Juicy velour sweatsuits can, like, I don't understand why early 2000s fashion is coming back. That was not a cute time.
I like early 2000s fashion minus the very low-rise pants.
I don't
So,
like any of
like,
it.
the tracksuits made your ass look fantastic.
But they were low
And
rise.
that's something I do need in my
See,
life.
I don't like.
I don't want them to be
I don't think that
low-rise.
I like early 2000s fashion because it was all low rise.
Yeah, the low rise isn't comfortable. It was too low rise. Ooh, do they have them at Nordstrom Rack? Are they all for children? They're all for children. I'm definitely gonna order sweatpants before this is over. I just
Me
like the
too.
velour. Yeah, should we talk about dating and coronavirus?
You know, maybe.
Maybe.
Hello,
Hello!
welcome to the podcast where we just like to talk about sweatpants.
I'm gonna make sure that that vigorous debate over sweatpants is our opener.
I mean, it really wasn't that vigorous.
How
That's
I cut it is yet to be
it's
decided.
pretty short and sweet. No.
And I am pro juicy velour sweatsuit. I think who you vote for in these primaries is up to you. I don't know which of us identifies with which actually existing group. I feel like Joe would be juicy velour sweatsuit, which makes me sad, but also
Yeah.
never mind. Never mind. This is the 50 Worst States podcast where we are slowly going insane because of social distancing, and you probably are too.
Yay.
My name's Katie.
And my name's Amanda.
And last week, we were really hopeful and really kind of digging the stay-at-home thing because, as a Taurus and Cancer, respectively, that's our thing. and we refuse to use the Q word for quarantine.
Which you just
And
did.
This week, yeah, like that word, you know, the quarantine, the social distancing, the coronavirus, COVID, COVID-19, whatever you want to call it. All of them. But now we're unshowered, probably. I was really unshowered when I initially wrote this. I was like 3 days unshowered, and I was like, Katie, you need to be less weird. And we're kind of bitter. I am very bitter. And really starting to use that keyword because it's week two, everybody. Week two! Woo. And yeah, so here is your, it says in the notes, do noises, but worldwide news report dating in the coronavirus.
That was so beautiful.
I'm really good at sound effects. You're welcome. And I feel like over time we'll take everybody through all the stages. I do want to hear if you're having like Bumble dates over FaceTime. I want to hear about it. And if you are like actively, I want to hear from somebody who broke up with their significant other while living with them on like February 28th and has yet to move out.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
Like that's the horror story I truly want to hear. Or like you have an awful roommate or just like you are trapped in hell. You think you might have died and you are in hell right now. Like I want to hear that tale. But we'll probably not go through all of it all at once because we'll run out of content before we run out of a quarantine. But as we peruse the social media about 18 million hours a day, I am personally starting to see some things develop that I'm dying to watch, like people starting to get really upset with their significant others and roommates. And you know what? I just want to watch a band. I'm a messy bitch who lives for drama. But we're going to start with our quarantine dating scene talks about who you're quarantined with or not seeing at all. And we're going to answer a question for you. Amanda, what is that question? It's in bold in the notes.
I know. I was just flipping back. I was looking at loungewear, okay?
That's why you were so quiet.
The question, Katie, is should I quarantine with my significant other or go alone?
It's a big day. It's a big question because while you might be, I'm currently over a week into having not seen my significant other. We have video chatted several times, but that is about it. And I missed human touch. I put a pillow behind me last night so it would feel like someone was cuddling me. I'm struggling. What are you doing, Amanda?
Currently I'm drinking.
What's your side
I'm drinking story? Some tea, but I have consistently been seeing my significant other. Essentially, if I'm not at my place, I am at his place. Those are the only two places I go, with the exception of the store.
And your car in between.
Yes, but
I think the great equalizer here, or the great divide here, is the fact who has a car and who does not. I quite literally looked up the biking distance between me and my partner today, and it's 4.5 miles, divvy bike station to divvy bike station, and might do it on Saturday. I don't know yet.
Say, that's not bad.
It's not bad, and if I'm there, like if I'm there overnight, like the hour long bike ride is definitely worth it.
4 miles should be less than an hour.
Yeah, but it's 4 miles on the street and there is still a significant amount of traffic and no one respects bikes. So, and those bikes don't go that fast. So I'm being sensitive about
fair.
It. We'll see. We'll see how much my thighs burn. Probably a lot. I don't bike that distance ever, but we are going to answer the question of what you should do with light coughing in the background.
Apparently I'm Amanda. Dying of coronavirus. Just kidding. I drank some tea and it went down the wrong pipe. Okay.
Oh no.
I know.
Well, we're gonna sip our tea real hard, take a break. You're gonna listen to an ad, and then we're gonna come back and answer the question of, yeah, should I quarantine with my significant other and move into their house or like something like that, or should I just like go it alone, like the strong, independent woman I am?
You can still be a strong, independent woman strong. With being with your significant other, but yes.
Yeah, you can. You can do whatever the fuck you want, but BRB. Boop.
Kitty, but I'm
all of this is genuinely true. I did put a pillow behind me last night. I'm struggling.
That is so sad.
It's very sad.
That is so sad.
It's like, what's really sad is that, like, I got very good at not seeing a partner for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, roll it back to a year ago, I had just gotten out of the long distance relationship. So, like, I was at that point very good without seeing a partner. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, holy shit, I'm going to die.
Yeah, you're being what they like to call dramatic.
Shut up. I'm going to die.
No, you won't.
If someone doesn't hold my hand soon, I'm going to die.
Okay.
Are you okay with going first and everything? I know I put you first, yeah, because fine. I thought it was a good transition.
I'm trying to decide what size sweatsuit I want to get.
I feel like the bigger the better.
I need to not buy fucking sweatpants.
I mean, be a bad bitch. Do whatever the fuck you want. Right.
I just... Ooh, maybe...
You actively have a job and you'd be helping the economy or something. I don't know.
That's fair, but I should talk.
And honestly, if you do think you want something, order it now because all of the distribution centers are going to get shut down over time. Well, should we do this?
Yeah, let's do this. Okay, welcome back.
Let me
readjust because I've been sitting on my ass all day.
Ooh. Gosh, we don't want to sit on our asses. We want to sit on our heads.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was bad. I'm trying.
Katie's losing her mind.
I haven't looked anybody in the eye in 3 days.
Katie hasn't had human contact in several days, so she's struggling. Oh my God, there's a teddy set, like a teddy bear, like material.
Ooh, that sounds cozy as fuck. And by the end of this episode, Amanda will have to choose a sweatsuit to purchase. And she will update you on how comfortable it is.
Do I want a sweatsuit with a cropped sweatshirt or not?
I feel like I wear sweatsuits to feel like a pudge. So I don't want any cropped action emphasizing
punch. High waist pants, so.
Okay. That's truly up to you. Between my very big boobs and my very long torso, I do not do crop tops because they do not work. They stop immediately after my boobs. If that. Sometimes it's just under boob. It's horrifying.
It's horrifying. Well.
It's horrifying.
As we discussed prior to the break, I am still currently actively seeing my significant other, even during this social distancing shenanigans.
Social distancing. Social distancing.
We do not live together. We live 6 minutes away from each other without traffic. So I've pretty much only been seeing him or his roommate and his cat and my dog.
Important.
Who is sleeping on the bed behind me. He's a sleepy boy. But anyway, so Katie linked to an article from the Rolling Stone that basically was like, the coronavirus will inevitably lead to breakups. And so
I thought it was an interesting take. It's also coincidentally the take I have.
I looked at it and I was like, oh my God, Katie linked an article from Rolling Stone that says COVID-19 breaks up relationships and we're going to break up. And he just goes, oh, well, I hope not. As he continues searching for the elusive yellow puzzle piece amidst the 999 other yellow puzzle pieces of the 1,000-piece Gustav Klimt's The Kiss puzzle.
Adorable. And I didn't mean guys in particular. No, I said the greater population. No,
I
know.
But I still was just like, oh my gosh, we're going to break up, knowing
science says.
We're just like I'm casually writing notes for the podcast and he's trying to complete this 1,000 piece puzzle, which has still not been completed yet, but we're getting there.
Right.
So, like I said, Rolling Stone, the article is titled COVID-19, How Pandemic Will Inevitably Lead to Breakups. And naturally, I anxiously took a deep dive, but the title, as expected, was misleading to a degree. Which, like, is not, yeah.
Really?
Title being misleading?
Fake news!
To summarize the article so that you all don't have to hunt it down and read it yourselves, essentially people are just more prone to get into arguments while kind of being cooped up together. And wow. This fighting
groundbreaking
lead to breakups. And many of the arguments, it seemed, were surrounding social distancing and how to do it. You know, some people would want to stay in, some people don't. There was one couple where the guy was like a best man in a wedding that was still on because this was probably like pre-everything getting shut down. And his partner was like, what the fuck are you doing? So luckily for me, my partner and I mean, the social distancing situation and like self-isolation went pretty smoothly because at first his office shut down and he was told to work from home for the foreseeable future. Me, being a healthcare worker, was very bitter. But last Monday, my director told me to work from home because I am hella immunocompromised. Yay me.
Hella.
In fact, I did some lab work the other day and my white blood cell count is low, which means I'm even more at risk for infection. Yay.
Oh, good. Okay. Hooray.
I love it. So we basically alternate staying at each other's place throughout the week. And that's kind of just been consistent, which is what we used to do anyway. The only difference is that now we only go to each other's places and then to the grocery store and then the occasional drive-through. But he doesn't like to eat out because he's an animal.
Not even Taco Bell.
He likes these things, but he doesn't like to eat them as frequently as I do. So it's frustrating. It's his roommate that I count on to support me in my decisions, like last night and Dairy Queen. So
honestly, yeah.
It's, you know,
I feel like the understated champion of a lot of relationships is the significant other's roommate. Oh,
absolutely. So, the article, you know, continues going on and it basically points out that couples who are at a breaking point or couples who have already been arguing or, you know, might have issues that just might bubble over during this pandemic because they're kind of couples are going to be forced to confront them. Plus, you're adding on the additional stress of isolation, of working from home, of change in routine, lack of routine, all of that. But couples who are more resilient and better at communicating are likely to be fine and or be brought like closer together. So my partner and I,
you come out and you're like, we don't even need the outside what? World. You come out of this and you're like, we don't even need the outside world.
Someone was like, you guys are probably just going to get hitched. And I was like, first of all, we can't even if we wanted to because all the courts are closed. Like, we literally, unless we drove to Las Vegas and did like a drive-through wedding, it wouldn't happen.
Oh, big reveal at the end. We have a news happy ending related.
Beautiful.
But we'll get to it later.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
But yeah, so my partner and I actually had I wouldn't call it an argument over the weekend. We just had this like episode of like tension, I guess. And it essentially resulted because we both needed space and he was not really communicating that well. And he thought that he was like being very suave and that I couldn't tell that he was acting differently. And I was like, I'm not a dumb bitch. I'm literally an empath and a mental health professional. So it's my job to like observe behavior. So I was like, this is literally what I do for a living. So you can't really hide that from me. So, and I mean, he's also just working on communication, which most people are. So we were both tense and anxious and overwhelmed because we had a really stressful few days. And essentially we just needed to talk about boundaries and the importance of like recharging. Today is really like the first day that I've spent like, well, I guess since Saturday, since it happened, but like, I have not seen him all day. I'll probably stay at my own place tonight because I want to cuddle with my dog. And that's okay. It doesn't mean anything's wrong. It just means that we have healthy boundaries. And So we're not codependent, which is more so like you need to be around someone at all time. You're relying on them for validation and happiness. You have this whole like, if I'm not with them, I'm going to die philosophy. Not to Katie's dramatic level, but to like actual believe, like if they were to break up with me, my life honestly would be over.
If just a clean person, if a clean person hugged me right now, I'd feel better.
There you go.
If someone handed me their COVID test and they're like, I don't have COVID, and then they hugged me, I would feel so there much you go. Better.
But healthy relationships and healthy boundaries equals taking time to recharge yourself, knowing your limits and communicating that well. So being trapped in quarantine together is not a death sentence for relationships as long as the relationship was already healthy and resilient.
I think it's an obstacle course for your relationship. Oh, absolutely. Because you do have to like overcome some things. You have to figuring out how to be professional people together and in a space is interesting, and hearing like some of my coworkers say that like, yeah, we're switching off who gets to use our computer desk and I have to hear this person on calls and can we reschedule because this and that. And I'm like, this is an interesting dilemma that we now have to face.
Yeah.
So you and your significant other can both work, or so my boss can take care of her baby and things like that.
So, you know, my partner and I kind of see this as like a test run for living together because we plan to do that in the near future. And we're both like, well, if we can survive this where we can't fucking do anything, then we can probably survive living together. And that's kind of how we're looking at it, because otherwise and he's an introvert, so he's totally cool with like staying at home all day and I'm slowly dying inside. So it's fine.
Yes.
But the one thing that I've noticed that was actually pointed out in this article was that like, the amount of sex has declined. You would think that like, because we're working from home and blah, 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 we'd have all this sex. No. Like I'm not horny like at all. Neither is he. We're both just like, we're too stressed and like anxious.
What's that like?
And I'm like, the last thing I want to do is like deal with sex right now. And that's probably because I've been seeing so much of him that I'm like, I don't need that.
Can you like send me that energy?
But it's because of, you know, the anxiety, the stress, and the overall terribleness that is COVID-19. You know, it's going to make your desire to bone when you're quarantining with someone much lower, because you don't have time to think about dick when the president is a flaming ignoramus and celebs are singing songs at you to imagine whatever the fuck John Lennon suggested.
This is a fair point.
You know, I had a moment over the weekend where they're trialing a medication called chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin together in France and some parts of China. And actually the mayor of Nice in France had this like trial run of medications, and within a week or like within 6 days, he claimed that he was like essentially cured of coronavirus. And so
it's a 14-day flu. I mean, if he was halfway through the flu, he would have already
I don't know. But anyway, Donald,
there's a really good piece on it in the Daily either today or yesterday that I'd highly suggest listening to, actually.
And Donald Trump, who is, you know, the greatest medical professional of all, basically, like,
his uncle went to MIT. You don't understand.
In a press conference, he said that the FDA approved this combination of drugs, which they haven't, for treatment of COVID-19. And they were even like, no, we haven't. He was like, the FDA approved it. And the FDA director was like, we have not.
I'm right here.
And then he also was tweeting about how we should be demanding it and getting it in mass quantities, having no understanding, as typically one does when they have no medical knowledge or knowledge at all, that is a drug that is used in treatment for lupus and arthritis and Sjogren's and other autoimmune disease. And I have all three of them, and I will literally die if I stop taking that medication. It will not be sudden. It will not be a sudden death. But my lupus will progress, attack my organs, and I will die. It's already in a shortage. And I had to spend half a day worrying if I was going to be able to get a prescription filled for my life-saving medication because the president of the United States is a dumbass and is claiming.
And has started touting it and calling it out, like name-dropping it in press conferences. There was a couple who, out of the man and the woman, the man died because this is also something similar to something that they used to clean aquariums with. So he's like, this is the same thing. And it was like an eight versus an oat or something in the chemical name, and they died.
And also, I mean, the medication itself has some pretty serious side effects. And so not just anyone can take it. If you have a pre-existing heart condition, you probably can't take it. If you have eye issues, you can't really take it. And it messes up your stomach, and antibiotics also mess up your stomach. So taking it in conjunction with an antibiotic is...
which you're likely on because people are getting pneumonia with this and getting sinus infections
No, the treatment is hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin. So it's the medication plus the antibiotic. And but it's already in a shortage. And so there's nothing to protect people who are on that medication long term. And people are having issues filling the medication because some individuals are demanding their doctors prescribe it for them, or doctors are prescribing it for themselves and their families and hoarding it. And it's really fucked up. And I was very concerned because that's literally my life. Not that it is equivalent to insulin, because diabetics will die much faster. But if I was going to kind of explain the importance of it to my health, it is like an insulin to me. If I don't, because I can go without my other meds, like my life would be shittier. But without this medication, like I will die much quicker. And so it was very stressful. And so the last thing I wanted to fucking do was have sex. And so people like me, who have autoimmune illnesses, are already worried about getting coronavirus, because the issue is not so much that healthy people will overcome it, but it's the fact that it's so difficult to get tested. By the time those healthy people who have coronavirus get tested, they have bilateral pneumonia and are hospitalized because it's gone untreated. Mm-hmm. And so that's just for a healthy person, but for someone with an autoimmune disease, it is far more life-threatening. And so we're worried about that. And mm-hmm. then I'm worried about my ability to just get my fucking medication. And then on top of working from home while being a healthcare professional, very weird dynamic. So it was just a lot. But we are 1 week in, going on 1.5 week in, and still good, doing well. Like I said, we're currently working on a 1,000-piece puzzle. But it does help that we have our own spaces. You know, we don't live together, so I can't speak on that dynamic. But, you know, we are able to have that mm-hmm. distance from each other. So it's still hard. It's definitely taking a toll on me. I mean, my cousin lives like 3 minutes from me, but I'm really trying to minimize who I interact with and basically keep it to like one or two people, which are my partner and his roommate. And so I can't even go see one of my best friends. And, mm-hmm. you know, because social distancing, it isn't just, you know, being 6 feet away from people. It's literally minimizing how much contact you have. You only go to the store if you absolutely have to. You know, you stay mm-hmm. home and you don't interact with your friends. And so in person, you know, you don't need to like completely isolate yourself through all platforms, but... Yeah. But at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I think that absolutely have to is getting really hard for a lot of people. Like, we're so used to having everything at our fingertips or like not being mm-hmm. told no. Like, because you have to is going to get really yeah. hard.
So the biggest thing is that, like I always say, communication really is key, especially in things like this. You don't have to think there's a drill happening somewhere. and you don't have to think okay. that COVID-19 will ruin your social life and your relationship. It doesn't have to do either. But just be aware of your needs and when you need time to yourself and be willing and able to communicate that to your partner. And respect if your partner needs their space. You know, don't be all up in arms if they're like, hey, I just need some fucking space from you because we've spent 3 full days together. You know, don't be all like, mm-hmm. oh my God, you don't like me and pick a fight. Just respect that. Respect that people need space. And at the end of the day, it is going to be well for you. And if you live together, I mean, there's ways to kind of manage that. I don't know because I don't live with my partner, mm-hmm. but I'm sure there's ways to navigate that.
I'm curious to hear. So like I live in a studio apartment. I am sitting... a mere 4 feet. I'm sitting in between my couch and my desk, which are a mere like maybe 5 feet from each other. And then my kitchen is adjacent by about 8 feet. Like I live in 516th square feet. If you live with your partner in a space like that, I want to hear about it. Like, cause that's where I'm curious. Like, how are you both working from home if you're in the same room? Like, how is that working? I'm very curious because I haven't seen my partner in a full week because we are both very independent people. And yeah, I'll tell my half of the tale now. So if you're like, I can handle all those things and I can communicate, I'm going to go live with my partner. That's great. But if you're like, wow, I'm not sure yet. Let me tell you my tale of how I had a dream that I was the big spoon, which is not even how I prefer to cuddle. I think it's funny that I look like a jetpack, but I don't want to be the big spoon. I want to be the little spoon. And I'm having dreams where I'm the big spoon because that's how little human contact I've gotten. I don't even get to do the things I want to do in my dreams. I'm sorry. And this is admittingly harder than I expected or harder than I felt it would be last week. Because while I really, really value the independence I have in my current and honestly previous relationships, this is the first time I've had a partner that I see even once a week or like frequently at all since 2017. Like I was dumb and in long distance relationships because I'm dumb. And this is for the first time a person that like lives by me. And it's broken me as a human being. And right now, it is, I wrote here in the notes, 3 miles. I checked it right before this podcasting recording, is 4.5 miles from my Divvy bike station to his Divvy bike station. I only have to go down one street, but it's 4.5 miles down a street. And we haven't seen each other because there's no good way to get from point A to point B other than a bike, because while we technically live on the same street, neither of us have cars. And that's Amanda, that's how you're making this work, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
Correct? Like the car is a savior. So maybe you are like me. You are carless and Ubers are always kind of dirty, but like they feel extra dirty now. And I found an article on the subject of dumping, but on the subject of a lot of things, from Vice, and it's called "It's Absolutely Okay to Dump Someone Over Their Awful Pandemic Behavior." And it's funny because I'm convinced that my partner would dump me on these grounds. Like if I had foregone all of the pandemic stuff, he's taking it the most seriously out of anyone I know. And like, we haven't seen each other for that reason. I am taking it still very seriously, but I am also in the back of my head like, well, I could get on a Divvy bike and go see him, and I should go to Trader Joe's and get some brie. And like, I am, the resolve of not leaving the house until you absolutely have to is very quickly breaking on my Taurus ass, because I like nice things and I'm running out of them. I am genuinely out of shampoo and I'm going to need to leave the house, and I'm really banking on that, and I might just go to Trader Joe's while I'm at it and get some brie because I want some fucking brie. But the variable of public transportation and Ubers are too unsafe right now, and that's why I haven't seen this person. And let's just lay it out from you from Vice, because I really, really fucking liked this little paragraph. Dun, dun, dun. 1 month ago, your partner's rugged individualism and unwillingness to read an entire article before weighing in and were charming personality quirks. The kind of stuff that's either endearing or aggravating, depending on your mood. But now, in the midst of a coronavirus pandemic, you might be viewing those traits in an entirely different light. Alex's individuality and fuck it, let's party nihilism isn't just Alex doing Alex when you're talking about social distancing and other necessary precautions. Seemingly personal choices are now a literal matter of life and death, and could reveal a significant difference in values within your relationship, making you wonder if this person is the right match for you. So many people are facing similar dilemmas that there's an entire website documenting quarantine partner drama. And now you're probably like, Katie, what is that website? Are you going to share so I can submit my own heinous gripes with my co-quarantiner? And in my best John Mulaney impression, I go, no! Because you should submit to us first. Actually, never mind. I mean, you can do whatever the fuck you want. You're a strong and independent woman. That project, that website is called thesocialdistanceproject.org. It was also covered in Vogue pretty recently, and I've pulled out some hidden gems because, yeah, I'm living without my partner. It sucks, but we're doing it for the cause. We're doing it so people like Amanda don't get sick and die. We're doing it so I live in a building of 1,000,001 old people. They don't get sick and die. When we voted on Tuesday, they had little plastic wrappers to put around all the Sharpies you used to vote, because it was very smart. It was like, wow, we have to do this to keep you, the old lady who's managing this voting station, alive. So if you don't have a car, if you don't have a way to safely see your partner, your SOL, get a video link and video fuck. It can be done. It has been. And from the socialdistanceproject.org/stories, I have a couple gems for you. Da-da-da. I need to find some theme music. Maybe that's what I'll do tomorrow for a lot of this. Play just some. All around us are familiar faces, worn-out faces. I'm the kind of girl that has never and will never feel comfortable passing gas or number twoing in the same vicinity as their partner. Yes, I'm aware I should get over this, but no, I don't think I ever will. The gym, the office, or basically anywhere else has always been my outlet. Outlet. Let's just say that now, living in a 600-square-foot, one-bedroom apartment with my fiancé, I am miserably trapped. I have literally nowhere to go. This is not a drill. Thank you, COVID-19, for fucking up my entire digestive system. You're engaged and you can't poop in front of him. What's wrong with you? Yeah. Oh, do you want to switch off on these? Do you want to read any?
I can, yeah.
Yeah, would you like to read number two?
I'm working from home. My husband travels 6 to 8 months out of the year for work, but when he's home, he does not work. He got mad at me when I told him he had to stop lecturing me on why he isn't an alcoholic so I could get on a conference call. He then got up and deliberately farted next to me while I was announcing my presence on the call. Jesus Christ.
So many bodily functions. Like Amanda said, like, you gotta communicate. You also just have to not be an asshole. I've been apart from the person I love for 3 days. We just had our 1-year anniversary. In only 3 days, being away made all doubts I've ever had resurface like a massive. I called him last night and we broke up. Now all I want is to see him. Not to get back together, just to see him. Where I am, if I leave my house, I risk getting fined or going to jail. Now I'm spending my time Googling ways to ease these puffy eyes from crying. Jesus. I feel like you did the right thing, puffy eye lady. Like, it was 3 days and you broke up with him. Are you kidding?
Lord have mercy. Okay. The guy I'm seeing is a musician. All his recording sessions have been canceled. He doesn't have anything to work on except his own projects, which he had been actively avoiding since way before quarantine. Hey, that's me and the mandolin. He doesn't have a lot going on right now, and I'm feeling so much pressure to be his source of entertainment, comfort, distraction, whatever. He's also far from his family and basically told me that I'm the only thing he has going right now. But I had been thinking about ending it since before quarantine. It's not working out for a variety of reasons, but on top of that, I miss my ex. Yikes. I miss his energy and how grounded he is. But this is such a shitty time to break up with someone, and I don't want to leave him when he doesn't have access to his support system, a source of distraction, or anything. Honestly, just dump him. Don't sacrifice your own mental health.
Stop. Bye. He'll be fine. This is my favorite one, because I get to read it dramatically. I submitted a story about how the universe has been cock-blocking me because I've been separated from the guy I've been talking to for a couple months. I just found out via Zoom call that he has a girlfriend. I hate it here. I hate it here. I mean, I get it. I hate it here too, but like... I also want to know how that went. Like, did he come out and be like, I can't do this, I'm not seeing you because I'm quarantining with my actual girlfriend? Or is he like, was the girlfriend on the Zoom? I want answers. I have more questions than answers. But that is the end of our tales. We got some worse dates or some horror stories this week. You're welcome, guys. But I do have a happy ending that we can end on. This was reported on CNN, I believe, Saturday, March 21st. Happy ending of the week. New York couple shout, I do, as friend officiates wedding from his fourth floor window. Basically, Riley Jennings and Amanda Wheeler tied the knot on Friday at a ceremony held on a small street in the Manhattan neighborhood of Washington Heights. Matt Wilson, a friend and licensed marriage officiant, leaned out of his fourth floor window to lead the ceremony safely away from anyone who might be carrying coronavirus. It was the most New York moment ever, and it was even more special to share with the entire neighborhood in such a scary and uncertain time, Jennings told CNN. I love this city. She's wearing a gorgeous white full-body jumpsuit, and they're real cute. And they were supposed to get married in October and just decided to do a quick courthouse thing anyways because they can. And... quote, we texted, want to marry us outside your window in the next 24 hours? And he said, yes. To that, I replied, how about in 90 minutes? We both finished up work meetings, got dressed, picked up some flowers, and headed to his apartment around the corner. So remember that you too can find love in this hopeless place, even if you hate it here.
Thank God.
Of this place. Amanda, do you have another happy ending to end this week with?
You know, I don't know that I do. I think that's my fair. Happy ending. I guess that's my happy ending is that this weekend I did not look at anything work related, and I was able to kind of recharge after my breakdown on Friday. So that was nice.
Good. That's good. I'm happy for you about that because I feel like this time where work and home are really kind of meshing together, it could be really easy to spend all your time working or to do it every day, and correct, you don't have to do that. My happy ending this week is the list of things that I'm getting done while I'm home. I have hung paintings on walls. I have cleaned out like documents. I need to clean out my medicine cabinet. Like, I have a long list of things that I'm actively getting done, and I'm doing like one a day, which has been really nice to just like, I think those 2 extra hours where I'm not commuting each day are really helping. Crazy how that works when you get 2 hours back in your day. And I'm using those to like better my living space because I'm going to be here for a while. Yeah. And with that, if you would like to submit your own worst date, horror story, sex mishap, boner blunder, or just quarantine nightmare, please feel free to submit named or anonymous stories to 50worstdatespodcast@gmail.com or slide into our DMs at 50worstdatespod on Instagram. If you think we're valid sources for advice and want to ask us questions, we'll take those emails too. Our goal is to base future episodes after stories that are not our own because we've never been in a quarantine before. If you love our music, it's from bensound.com. And if you love our cover art, it's by Tori Scranton. You can find her at tscrantonart on Instagram and Etsy. We will talk to you guys next week about something probably quarantine related.
Yay.
I don't know yet. Yay!
Bye.
Bye-bye now.